Hey everybody, my name is Austin.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Colton.
And we're three close friends who have a desire to share our lives, experiences, and our pursuit of Christ, all from a biblical perspective.
You're listening to the Exiles Podcast. Let's talk about it.
And we're back.
With your favorite mouth breather, Colton Freeman.
He beat us to the punch.
Oh, man. Yeah, I thought I would get that one out of the way.
So we weren't going to make fun of you.
I don't believe you.
Were we going to make... Did we have a plan?
I didn't have any plans about
it. I didn't have any plans about it.
We've actually turned into a no making fun of zone in this friendship.
Yep.
Between the three of us. We're not allowed to pull each other's legs anymore. Literally and figuratively. And you don't know how the first one came about.
Too much leg wrestling. That's how we used to settle our disagreements.
That's right.
We're just getting Indian leg wrestling right now.
What is an Indian leg wrestling?
You've never Indian leg wrestled?
No.
Yes, you have.
It's where you lay down on your back opposite
yes.
of you hook your legs, and then whoever flips somebody wins.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Have you done it?
Yeah.
You good at it?
Not anymore.
There's a secret technique.
What's the technique?
You take your hand and you ball up a little knuckle, and then you catch somebody around the back of the thigh right before you start. So they get that little pain, and you flip them right over.
That's not a technique.
That's the technique.
I remember it now.
I was fully expecting him to say, you actually hook at the knee, and then you just pull with the knee. Pull at the knee. It's just full-on degradation of the muscle.
That's right.
My Aunt Hody is undefeated. She's never lost before in her life, so that might be what she does.
And the blowfish?
The what? Hody.
Oh.
Aunt Hody.
Aunt Hody?
You said Aunt Hody.
Aunt Hody.
What a name.
You
is
said
that
Aunt
her
Hody.
First name?
No, her real name is Shirley, but...
Temple?
Charmin. Charmin. But she wants to go by Hody.
What? Okay.
I don't know.
What a name.
That's them Baton Rouge folks, man, for you.
Oh, dude. Louisiana people are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
My brother graduated, and a guy in his wedding, his last name is literally Bro.
B-R-E-A-U-X.
Bro.
His name is Zach Bro. What's really funny is
a sweet last name.
It is really sweet. Well, he was actually, you could actually understand him, but his dad was full Cajun. His dad was full Cajun, and they'd play soccer at Delta State together, and his dad would show up, and he would just be like, oh, no, bro, go on, bro.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Go over. I mean, it was awesome. It was crazy that, you obviously see, Ed O on TV, and you're like, that can't be real. And then you experience it in real life.
Well,
real people.
I never.
And you're like, oh, that is.
I never understood. You've watched Waterboy before, right?
I love that
movie. I've never understood the guy who mumbled and couldn't get words out.
Father Fran.
I never understood what was so funny about that until I heard Ed Ogeron talking. I'm like, that sounds like that guy from Waterboy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He was the quintessential backwoods Cajun.
It's so realistic, you know. To my listeners out there in the northwest part of the world, because we have some people out there who've never experienced a Louisiana person before, you're missing out. It's quite the treat. I just gotta say it.
Well, okay, so keep talking, because I gotta find the Cajun Bible translation for you.
Well, that's pretty sacrilegious.
No, I remember reading that.
It's pretty legit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, well, keep talking. Fill in the empty space while I look it up.
Well, Jonathan, man, I haven't seen you in a while. How's life going?
Well, you know it's going.
Yeah. Okay, there it is.
All right, well,
we got
Google is Bible translations. Hawaiian Pigeon, that's what it's called.
That's a
Hawaiian
good one,
Pigeon
yeah.
Bible translation.
That's way off Cajun.
I know that.
That's
it
not
might
the same
it way. Might be, but it does sound just like it. Okay, so
it's
just,
not Cajun, but it sounds just like Cajun.
I mean, when you
that
read it,
that could be sort of offensive. You might want
to. I was about to say.
You want to backtrack off of that one?
Yeah.
What do you mean it's offensive? Why is that offensive?
I mean, because Cajun is a culture, and Hawaiian people have their own culture.
I'm just saying, you can't read
very
this.
Different, very, very different.
You can't read. Okay, I'm not going
to. That's not very PC of you, buddy.
Yeah, this is not 2023 PC? Of you.
Politically correct.
Politically no, correct.
I don't do acronyms. Y'all are a bunch of Gen Zers.
Have you read that translation?
I'm literally the oldest person.
Gen Z? Yes, the Gen Z translation is funny, but I hate it.
Why?
I have it at my house, actually.
A paper copy?
What? I do. It's a paper copy.
Of the Gen Z Bible? Of
the Gen Z Bible. And it is crazy. It is super sacrilegious. I will not read it on air.
But you it was definitely meant as a joke, and people have definitely.
They canceled it. It got canceled almost immediately.
You're telling me that's like a full Bible. It's not like some.
No, it's a book of John.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. It's. Okay, I'm going to have to read some words off of it in the next episode. Just so you can, like, get the picture of it. Yeah. Well, you know.
It's like they call God Big G.
Yeah, Big G. What's the guy's name?
Carl?
Carl. Cool Carl.
Yeah. His stuff's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, I mean, the videos he puts out on Facebook, you know, if you're in youth ministry, you're not supposed to be serious. You're supposed to be funny, so you use Cool Carl.
Yeah,
that was a shot.
Right. I never thought that.
That was a shot at student ministry. Oh, we're supposed to be classic. Serious about the word.
Boom. Bang. Mic drop. Which reminds us of the topic of this week's episode. Hit us with it, Austin.
We're going to be talking about the one another's.
Yes.
Over the next several weeks, and today's
the Beatitudes.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Close. So close.
So close.
No, we're going to be talking about today, one of the first ones we're going to talk about of the one another's is
what are the peace. One another's?
Well, it's these expressions that you should have towards church members and other people.
Facial expressions?
Church. Yeah. You know, like actually, I don't know what to say now. That kind of threw me off.
Well, let's just put it like this, man. We've talked a lot about this, the one another's, but, you know, I don't think that's as clear of a well-known thing as you would probably make it out to be. It's not like the Beatitudes or the fruit of the Spirit, right? So tell our listeners what the one another's are.
Actions that you take towards other people who, in particular, who are Christians in your local body or in other bodies of Christ, you know, that are within regular. Okay, anyways.
You mean the universal church?
Yeah, that's right.
Love one another.
But also, they also flow out of the church into your workplace or into your family, and you know, it can be
between your neighbors.
Yeah, between your neighbors. And so there's several different one another commands that we've been given. Love one another, have peace with one another,
bear one another's bear burdens. One
burdens. Thank you for helping me there.
Because you don't even know how many one another's
there's
there are.
There's a lot of one another's. Actually, I have a PDF that I pulled up earlier of all the different one another's, and so there's that I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's well over 10.
Well over. You said just well over for 10. Like 40, 50, 60. There's probably, well over. Probably,
let's see.
10? Maybe 12?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay, there's well over 20.
Okay.
Probably there closer to 40 and 30. So there you go.
Yeah, so lots of episodes for you guys in the future about the one another.
I don't know if we'll get to all of them. Maybe we'll double some of them up in episodes, but. Anyways, today's episode is have peace with one another, and just to kind of let you know that there is several references, but one of them is out of Romans 12, verses 16 through 18. Actually, you can go and read a lot of the one another's in Romans 12. There's several of them. So here it is to live in peace with one another. Starting in chapter 12, verse 16 of Romans, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
Mm.
So there's kind of like this, it broadens out. It's kind of specific to have peace with one another, and then by the end of that passage, it's like, so now have peace with all people. So
did it actually say have peace with one another in that passage?
Have harmony.
Harmony, I guess, is the word. Does harmony mean peace? That's a good question.
Does it not?
I believe it does.
I would say harmony means more like unity.
Harmony, well, I mean, how do you have unity? You have peace.
Oh, gosh.
Love. joy, patience, kindness, gentleness.
Mm-hmm. So why did we choose peace for this episode, Jonathan?
I don't know.
Even though we just discussed it.
I don't even know
why. Now, you know, last week we talked about disagreements. That's what you could pronounce.
Okay, well, I'm saying disagreements.
We talked about disagreements last week and how to handle disagreements with one another.
Mm-hmm. Disagreements.
And so if the disagreement gets hot enough, then there's no peace there. And so you have to figure out how to live peaceably. Sometimes you have to figure out how to live peaceably with people that you disagree with.
Yep.
I think this is a really interesting topic based on just the overall. I know what we're talking about, peace with one another's, but like you just pointed out in the passage, it does open up to the end where it says, so far as it, you know, depends on you to live at peace with all. I think we're in a really interesting space in our culture, in our country, if I can use that word.
why couldn't you?
I don't know.
Is it illegal?
You know, some people can get spicy.
I can use country here.
It can get spicy, but where it feels like it's getting harder and harder to live at peace with people that we disagree with,
mm-hmm.
right? It is becoming much more difficult for us to find where the Lord would have us stand. And so now what is it? I mean, not that it's hard for us to decide what's right and wrong. Well, let me tell you, there are sheep.
Well, and there are sheep dogs.
But I think in understanding that we're going to be choosing Jesus more and more as the culture changes, then it's becoming more difficult to understand what does it look like for us to find peace, mm-hmm. and what does it look like for us to choose peace with our neighbors that we disagree with,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's also becoming more and more. I think we've talked about this on this podcast that, you know, with so many different churches, right, and us understanding the necessity of the local body, but also understanding that we're all brothers in the faith, like, it is becoming increasingly more likely that brothers and sisters are disagreeing with one another, and there is less peace than I would say there should be,
mm-hmm.
right, across buildings and denominations and things of that nature. So I think it's an important topic for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was waiting on Jonathan. I thought Jonathan was going to say something there, but
there's a lot there to process. We have to zoom in and zoom out. That was pretty broad stroke there.
Okay, well, let's zoom in. How are we day to day living in peace with brothers and sisters in Christ?
I think if you zoom all the way in, especially in the context of the letter, he's talking about the local body, right? Like the church that's in Rome.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's ever singular or plural. I don't know if there were multiple churches in Rome, but we're just going to assume for fun's sake that he's talking to a singular body, a group, a gathering of believers.
Mm-hmm.
And so within that body, I think this plays into what Colton was just talking about. Within that body, whether it's, you know, harmony or peace or unity or whatever the case may be, I think some of these things are kind of interconnected in a lot of ways. I think, because I'm still hung up on harmony and peace. I think really understanding, being on the same page with each other, we're talking about, you know, denominational lines or division between churches and whatever the case may be, division and political opinions. I think that's why it's so important for everybody to be on the same page theologically with primary issues.
Because
mm-hmm. there is a truth where you have to keep the main things the main things. And so, like, it's so important for that local gathering to have a really unified view of God, Christ, Holy Spirit, the gospel, how we interpret Scripture, the authority of Scripture, things of those nature, like these big overarching primary things that really influence how you receive material or how you receive information from Scripture, how you respond, how you act these things out. Like, it's so important for a group of people to be on the same page,
mm-hmm.
Theologically, hermeneutically, things like this, you know, which why I think I never have been like a big confession guy, but I do think that firm documents like that, you know, are helpful.
Yeah.
For churches. Because, like, you know, like, that's one place where you could get a lack of peace is if you, at some level, really, I guess in most disagreements, like if you have major disagreements in the realm of like, you know, theological, political, whatever the case may be, those are going to be rooted in your understanding of Scripture or understanding of God. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so important to prevent those things, that you're all on the same page already.
Yeah. When I was at First Baptist, towards the end there, there were several things that we were talking about, that we were teaching on proper church polity. We were teaching on covenant membership, all these different things that the church at large was not really aware of. And so when we got into meetings with different church members and walking through it in these group settings, it became very clear that there was some division in the room, that we were not of the same mind. And so one of the things that I really appreciate about Andrew is Andrew just wanted to say, okay, can we just list the things that we do agree on? Almost as if, like, if we're in the same mind, if we're of the same mind in these particular things, then we can move forward in these things that we disagree with and begin to work them out, knowing that ultimately we agree on these few things. So, for instance, one of the things that I think Andrew pulled out that was really good that we used was, we were looking at Scripture and we say a plurality of elders, a plurality of pastors is the best thing for the church. That's the prescribed way that the church should be led, right? Not through the plurality of deacons. But what Andrew did is he said, but we all agree there should be a plurality of men leading the church. And so he took that idea of, all right, there's a plurality of deacons over here, they're all men. There's a plurality of pastors over here, they're all men. We all agree that some group of men should be leading the church. We're all of the same mind of that. Now let's look at the Bible and say, okay, now let's simplify this. What is the Bible saying we should do? And that was just a really easy transition for a lot of people who thought deacons should be leading the church to transition over to elders should be leading the church, because we came to this common agreement. And Paul even talks about that in Philippians 2, that we should be of the same mind, exactly what you were mm-hmm. talking about.
Which, like, on the individual level then, that makes sense that to avoid these major disagreements, like the more you know the Bible, mm-hmm. or the more you're attentive to those, the more that you're submissive to those things, the more that you're really seeking out to know the Word, to understand the Word, and know what it says, and know how God views things, the more, you know, the more you're positioning yourself to be in that place of harmony and unity. Because you have to be, like, to be at peace or to be at harmony, to be at unity, you have to be around something, and that something should be the Scripture.
Mm-hmm. I would probably take that and I wouldn't say challenge, but just think about it a little bit. Like, I know we're talking about Paul's writing to the church in Romans, but I think in these verses, he starts out in verse 14 by saying, bless those who persecute you. Well, guess what? You're not being persecuted by your brothers and sisters in the faith. So, you know, I think maybe sometimes, but I mean, I think the overarching thought here from Paul is that in reality, living at harmony and living at peace with you know, one another means, I would say it means living at peace with all people. And I think that goes past disagreements personally. And the reason I say that is when you look at Paul, he's writing from experience of having a sharp disagreement with Barnabas in Acts. And they it says that they had a sharp disagreement on who they should take with them over something. Now, this wasn't a theological issue, or this wasn't even like a, you know, for many people, it may not have even been a huge issue, but it says there was a sharp disagreement and they went their separate ways. But I have to believe, and I believe that, you know, according to Paul's letters, that he was still at peace with Barnabas. You know, he still loved Barnabas. They were still brothers in the faith. They just had a sharp disagreement and changed paths forward because of this. And so I think peace goes well beyond what we disagree on. It goes well beyond what we believe are the same things and aren't the same things or have the same theological linings a lot of times. I think peace is, I think it's a state in which we go, hey, you know what? We disagree, but guess what? We're still of the faith together. We're still believers in the same faith. We still believe the same gospel and are saved by the same grace.
I do think that supports Jonathan's point of what are these primary things that, because you would say that dealing with Paul and Barnabas in Acts is not a primary issue.
Sure.
This doesn't affect, you know, how I think about your faith in Christ and how I think what you believe about Christ. This just affects who you're taking with you to missions.
That specific instance was about question of an individual's character, right? Because it was Paul that didn't really trust John Mark.
Yeah. Right? That's right. Yep.
So, I mean, yeah. So, like, in that sense, yeah, and there again, so, like, unity and harmony. But there again, like, on some fundamental level, Barnabas and Paul had ideas in their mind about what type of person should be or should not be part of these operations or these goings and doings and whatnot. And I mean, the Lord used that situation, no doubt. You know, I mean, Barnabas and John Mark did their thing. And then later on in life, right, Paul's like, you know what? John Mark's finally useful to me now. maybe he grew up a little bit with Barnabas. I don't know. But I do think that, yeah, I think what I'm looking at is a little different, because I'm still hung up in my mind on the word harmony and unity. But I still stand firm that most substantial disagreements, most substantial things within the church that would lead to a lack of peace between brothers and sisters probably could be prevented if they were of the same mind about a particular situation or circumstance.
Sure. Yeah. But then how do we continue to maintain peace with brothers and sisters, or even outside brothers and sisters, even when that same unity is not there, right? Because the call is still the same. The call is still to have peace with these brothers.
As well as you can.
As well as you can, right? Yeah. As well as it depends on you, which meaning, I think to Paul's point, right, he does say, as well as it depends on you, well, guess what?
Live peaceably with everyone.
All people, yeah. Right? But I think Paul, even in saying that, he's like, hey, you're going to read this, and the person that you disagree with and don't have peace with is going to read this, and now it's up to you to remedy your side of the peace, and it's up to them to remedy their side of the peace. So how should we have peace with others that we aren't unified with, right? Because I think we're seeing that right now, where the culture is drastically changing, and we still want a gospel presence where people are going to come to know the faith. And how can we live at peace with the one another's among us, you know? I think, what does that look like?
Can I say one thing before we go to answer that?
Yeah.
I do think that what Paul is doing is he's doing something in Romans 12 that he does in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as well, when he talks about the elders and the deacons, right? He kind of builds on this, hey, if you can't lead your household well, your children and your wife well, how can you expect to lead the church well? And so I think that what he's doing here is something similar. If you can't have peace with each other, harmony with one another well, how will you have harmony with those outside, those who are not of the same mind as you?
Right? Yeah, it's good.
So I think we might need to have that in mind, of the church is a small scale of what it looks like to live in peace with one another. And then you take that and you apply it to other aspects of your life and live peaceably with all as much as it depends on you. So I jump back to Romans 10 and I think about how to live in peace with my government. I obey the law of the land, and I submit to the authorities there.
That's Romans 13.
Yeah. Oh, did I say Romans 10?
Yeah, that's okay.
Romans 13, yeah, you're right.
We fixed it for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Your mistake. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I mean, that's good, because I mean, the last couple of weeks I've been preaching through the book of 1 Peter to my father-in-law's church, and those are the things that we hit on in chapters 2 through 3. He talks about our conduct before neighbors, our conduct before authority, our conduct before our marriages or in our spousal marriages, and then also our conduct before believers. Mm-hmm. And the same recurring theme is true. And I would give you a mentality that you should have when it comes to your ability to have peace with other people. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, that we follow the example of Christ, right? That he was reviled and did not revile back. That he was spit on, he did not spit back. He was beaten and he did not beat back. And in all of this, he went humbly to the cross. And I think this is the reality that is shown to us throughout Scripture, is that Christ didn't just die on the cross to atone for our sins. He also went in this manner as an example for us to follow in our own lives later on, when we are walking through sticky situations that we're walking through right now. So I would say, okay, if you're asking the question, how can I live at peace? Take the example of Christ. What did Christ's peace look like while he was on this earth?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that really led me into something that I was thinking, because I'm still just over here pondering the nuances.
What does harmony mean?
Between harmony. I think
there are nuances within his nuances. It's like Inception.
I'm going to look up the language here in a second, because I bet you it's two different words there. And if it is two different words, then I'm going to double down on what I'm thinking this is saying. So like it's like a smaller to larger. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that, right? So like if harmony is more in line with like unity, he says like, you know, have harmony with one another in the body. But then it says, then as much as it is, you know, up to you, live at peace. I think that really nails down some of the stuff. And I have an example from Christ ministry here that I want to bring up in a second. The difference between how unified the local body is supposed to be versus like you're supposed to strive for this perfect harmony in the mind of Christ, right? While also like outside of the church, obviously you're not going to have harmony, you're not going to have unity, you're not going to have a oneness of mind with Caesar, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in as much as it's up to you, live at peace with those, particularly in that time that absolutely despised these guys, right? Mm-hmm. Like they hated them.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a nuance there, like unity, harmony in the church, peace with all mankind. So that's one thing. But that makes me think of the time, and I can't remember the passage, but there are these guys going around, and they're preaching, they're doing this thing, and then one of the disciples says, hey, should we go rebuke these guys? And Jesus essentially says, you know, leave them about. Like, if they're not against us, then let them do their thing or whatever.
Right.
Do y'all know where that passage is? You know what I'm talking
about?
It's in the Gospels, obviously.
Yeah. Thanks, Captain.
No, it was more to the time when Jesus was interacting with the disciples in Philippians.
Sorry.
Thanks, there, Sherlock. But like, so anyway, in that situation there, you see that like Jesus was probably not in harmony or unity or oneness of mind with these people, was still living peaceably with these other people that were doing their own thing. Right, so like Jesus had this unity, this harmony with his disciples. These other guys were doing their own things. Like, hey, just leave those people be, let them do their thing, do whatever.
Sure.
So like he was at peace with these people, but not necessarily at harmony with them or unity with them.
Yeah, I get that. I can see that. So harmony takes peace to a whole new level.
Mm. Yeah,
I'm just gonna put it that way. You know,
I do love how y'all both came back to Christ, who in Paul uses in Philippians. Talk about the example of humility, and then also in this passage in Romans, he says, "Don't be haughty, rather be lowly, be humble." And so, peace with one another comes from us being humble and looking out for the interest of those around us and not our own interests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because sometimes when there's not that harmony, there's not that unity of mind, you do have to humble yourself, set your pride or your thoughts or your opinions aside, and say, all right, we're not going to have this level of unity or oneness of mind, but we can still be cordial with one another. We can still be peaceable with one another.
Which leads to love.
I think so. You love people, and that's where you get into like where you're talking about like these denominational splits or these church, you know, these where church line, like churches divide lines around little things. Like you can still have an appreciation and a love for those people, but never that same level of unity or oneness of mind whenever you disagree on things that could be maybe not primary issues, but secondary issues or so forth.
That's good stuff. Well, I think that's going to wrap things up for us today. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at The Exiles Pod, as well as private messages, any question you may want answered. You can also contact us with your questions by emailing us at theexilespod@gmail.com. We have a new podcast every Tuesday, or at least try to. And before you exit off, be sure to leave a review, share this episode with your friends, and give us a like. Until next time, peace.
See ya.